Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
The Yankees didn't get beaten out on any of these guys. They didn't want them.
I don't think that they were in on Correa. They weren't in on Story. They were never in on Seager. None of them. They were never in on any of them.
You think that's what Yankees fans want to hear, though?
That's negligence.
I have a hard time believing if offered a similar deal that Carlos Correa would have said no to the Yankees.
If you were not in on that at all, that is franchise malpractice is what it is.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DiPietro Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. We'll get back to your Yankees calls at 7:15, and then we'll do a pickle, the wind-up, out of the pen, whatever you call it, at 7:30. You said it was tomorrow. Thank God RJ is producing the show and not you. We would have been a day late. I have in front of me a red-hot, off-the-presses Mel Kiper mock draft 3.0. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We know who's going to go one overall. Feels like a foregone conclusion at this point. Aiden Hutchinson to the Jaguars at 1. 2, I think you'd be happy. I'd be happy with this as well. Kyle Hamilton to the Lions from Notre Dame at 2. And Houston, this would be disappointing for me, but I'll wind up okay, it looks like, at the 5 pick anyhow. This is the guy I really want. But 3 from NC State, Ikem Ekwonu. Or as Keyshawn Johnson says, Ukunua.
Ikem Ukunua.
Right. Ekwonu, 3 to Houston. This is interesting now. 4 to the Jets. We haven't really seen this thrown out there. Maybe they're concerned about a run on wide receivers. Mel has the Jets taking, from USC, Drake London with the 4th overall selection. How would you feel about that?
How would I feel about that?
Yeah, London 4. You don't love it. You sound underwhelmed.
Well, it's definitely a position to need. I don't know. Taking a wide receiver that high in a draft makes me a little bit nervous.
Imagine taking this guy higher than Jamar Chase went last year.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. The reason why Jamar Chase went where he went is because he had a relationship with Joe Burrow. That was it. And it paid off. He was awesome. I mean, it was well worth the pick.
You would hope to get the production from Drake London that they got from Jamar Chase. So that's 4 to the Jets, Drake London. 5 to the Giants. Offensive lineman extraordinaire from the University of Alabama, Evan Neal. Yeah, oh, would I feel good about that. I would eat that up. I would love it.
No, that would be great. I mean,
him at right tackle.
Oh, of course, any of those. I mean, either of those two.
Either of those two is a huge home run for the Giants. Carolina 6, Trayvon Walker, defensive end out of Georgia that is moving up the boards quickly. At 7 from Chicago. Now, I think Mel had him for the Giants last time as well. A couple months ago, this was the kind of prohibitive number one pick in the draft. That's Kayvon Thibodeau. Giants get him 7? Oh, if you get Evan Neal and Thibodeau 5-7, you feel like Shane and company have done a great job.
Even if you got Walker at 7, Dave. Right? I mean,
either of those guys.
Well, and then if you want to, depending on what happens with James Bradbury, too, I mean, as we get further down in this draft, too. I mean, the fact that Sauce Gardner's still sitting around there, if you wanted to address.
Well, he won't be around for long. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Thibodeau 7 to the Giants out of Oregon. Maybe this is why the Jets in his draft went Drake London 4. Because he has Atlanta taking a wide receiver. Now, Atlanta needs everything at this point. But no Calvin Ridley this year. No Matt Ryan anymore. So it's Kyle Pitts and very little else. Garrett Wilson, 8 to Atlanta from The Ohio State University. Seattle with the 9th pick. They take the 3rd
offensive they're telling
lineman.
You, hold on. So what is that telling you right now as far as quarterbacks in this draft are concerned?
Quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks.
that
QBs.
They have that no value.
I mean, because why at eight? I mean, you're Atlanta. You just traded Matt Ryan.
Well, I guess they don't like the quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying.
I will tell you where the quarterback's going to go. You're going to be wowed. Wowed at where they're going to go. In fact, RJ, could you look up the last time quarterbacks went this late in a first round? I don't even remember the last time. So Garrett Wilson, 8 to Atlanta. And then Seattle, who acquired the pick from Denver, is 9. They'll take the third offensive lineman off the board from Mississippi State, Charles Cross. And then the Jets back at it at 10. The pick that they got for Jamal Adams, Sauce Gardner, Ahmad Gardner, corner out of Cincinnati.
Love it.
Yeah, so if you wind up with London and Gardner, you'd love it. If I wind up with Neal and Thibodeau, I would love that. I think this draft happens like this. We're both very happy on April 29th.
Yeah, what's amazing right now as I'm sitting here looking at this thing is Atlanta needs a quarterback. They're going to take a wide receiver. Seattle has no quarterback. They're going to take an offensive tackle, which is fine. Washington has no quarterback, future quarterback.
Right.
And they're taking a corner.
How bad did Washington get, you know, raked over the coals, by the way?
Can we stop with the AFC, please, though? Can we stop?
Enough.
That's
great.
Uncle.
Yeah, you've had enough of it, right?
So
you mentioned quarterbacks. The top quarterback off the board with Mel's latest mock draft, 18 to New Orleans, who just re-signed Jameis Winston, but really, obviously, in the market for a quarterback, Kenny Pickett from Pitt. And 20 Pittsburgh, who also have their stopgap quarterback in Mitch Trubisky. He has him drafting Malik Willis, quarterback out of Liberty. So 18 and 20 in the first round. And that's it until you get to 32. And then Matt Corral, or Coral, as Santiago likes to call him, out of Ole Miss to the Detroit Lions. So I just saw Chris Sims has as his number one quarterback in the entire draft.
Guess who?
Matt Corral.
Hey, Sims is pretty good with the stuff, too, man.
Yeah, he loved Lamar Jackson back in the day.
He did. He told me that on a softball field.
Really?
Yep.
Nice. So there you have it. So what moves the needle for you with this mock draft?
I think a lot of it moves the needle for me.
I think we both hope that Kyle Hamilton goes 2 overall to Detroit.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, it concerns me that he keeps moving up. I mean, he ran a really slow 40. But, I mean, every mock draft you look at, he went from 4, now he's at 2. Like, is he that good?
Yes, he's supposed to be.
Well, no, I know he's good. Listen, it's a rhetorical question. Like, I get he's good.
Right.
But, like, his game is going to translate. Like, he's going to be that impactful at the next level.
I heard someone recently, and again, this is huge shoes to fill, but compare him to Ed Reed.
Well, I mean, if that's the case.
Right. But that's a once in a generation kind of a safety. That doesn't happen. Like, who's the best safety in football right now, would you say?
Best safety in football right now. Yeah. Cool, that's a good question.
I mean, who are the elite safeties in the NFL right now? My point is, would
Tyrann
you take
Matthews
them?
Good?
Yeah, would you take him too?
No.
So right. So if I offered you the best safety in football and said you could take him second overall, you wouldn't even consider that, right?
No, I wouldn't consider it. I mean, and again, you're talking to somebody that's taken. I mean, we took Jamal with the 6th overall pick. And he was really good for us. But, I mean, again, that's going to be one of those positions. Can you justify paying him that much money? Like, are you going to want – like, that's the whole point, right? The Jets have been in – have created a problem here where in the past is that they draft players and then the player doesn't make it to a second deal. Like, it's – you got to draft, develop, and keep these – like, this is the supposed to be the core group of your team. Like, you want to keep them around. So, if Kyle Hamilton is, you know, drafted 4th overall and he's a great player for you, are you going to want to pay him all that money? At that position. I mean, that becomes the question, right?
That becomes the question. And I guess my question on top of that would be, I mean, can you get enough production from a safety that it warrants taking that guy number 2 overall?
Well, I mean, it would depend on how impactful he is.
But he'd have to be a generational kind of safety.
Okay, would you take Minkah Fitzpatrick with the 2nd overall pick?
No.
Or Justin Simmons? I mean,
no. And I think Justin Simmons is probably the best safety in football. And,
yeah,
and
I mean, he's
great. My answer would be no.
Derwin James
if I told
good
you that
healthy.
You could get 22-year-old Justin Simmons 2nd overall, would you take it?
I would not prioritize that position. If
and
I had the opportunity
well.
To, take,
I agree with you.
To take tackles, to offensive tackles, edge pass rushers, lockdown corners, I mean, it, with what Mel has here for the Jets, I mean, this is pretty much what we were talking about, except it was reversed.
Right. So then who cares? If you thought you were going to go Gardner 4 and London 10 and you flip-flop it, that's still a win.
Well, no, you adjust. Yeah, right. Like, if you think that, you know, all of a sudden that, you know, you're sitting there at 10 and because you think Atlanta's going to take a wide receiver, you want your choice, so you decide you want to go with the wide receiver at 4. But the Jets have put them up. What I like is Joe Douglas has put himself in a spot now where he has flexibility in the draft.
He certainly
because he's
does.
He's addressed a lot of their needs already.
Yeah, he's done a good job. Good for him. All right, Giants, I love what they do. Evan Neal, Thibodeau.
It doesn't look like you're going to be able to trade back, though, because I know you want to do that.
Not if quarterbacks go 18 and 20, unless there's somebody just falls in love or there's a player that they look at and say, that guy should go higher than that. We can grab him and give the Giants a pick for next season. I agree with you. All right, quickly. Now, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm terrible. You should find me for my lack of attention to detail today.
Done.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll find me immediately. What do you want? You want me to send you like a Venmo or something? I go away, this show dies.
Not at all. I think that was great content. See, I'm not going to be mean like you.
So you're just honest.
I'm nurturing you. I thought that was good content, and we'll get to the your story you've been promising.
Yeah, but the story, I think it's worthy of like the triple T's, which has now gotten. But I made a promise, and I hate to go back on my word.
Yeah, but at least you're being honest in the moment. It's too big of a story to squeeze into.
And that was my thought.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
An article in the Athletic, which I can't imagine painting anyone in a worse light, both as a human being and a coach and a lack of knowledge and all of these things on Urban Meyer and what he brought or didn't bring to the NFL and the Jaguars. So it starts out, and it's by Jason Jenks and Mike Sando. He goes after the guys on the team. You know what would happen if I cut you guys? He says, you couldn't get a job paying more than $15 an hour anywhere. So he rips into his guys. They all dislike him. Quotes of, this was the most toxic environment I've ever been a part of. A veteran member of the football operations staff said, not even close, not even close. But here's the part of the article, which if true, I almost feel like he should return his salary, Rick, of what he made. Because it might be the most embarrassing thing I've ever read on anybody ever. And I mean that sincerely. I'm going to read you a little bit of this article. Signs of dysfunction were apparent early on. Several sources said Meyer stepped into the job as if he had all the answers, even though he had never coached in the NFL. Meyer said he conducted a 6-month deep dive on the NFL that included interviews with his former Florida and Ohio State players, as well as a deep study of the salary cap. But multiple sources said Meyer was unfamiliar with star players around the league, including, it can't be true. 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel, safety from the Seahawks, Jamal Adams, and Rams defensive tackle Aaron Donald, a 3-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Quote, who's this 99 guy on the Rams? Meyer asked one staffer during the season. I'm hearing he might be a problem for us. It can't be true, this article, right?
I have a hard time believing that's true, but I want it to be true so badly. so badly. I mean, the way this, I mean, this article, I mean, just the kind of environment. I mean, this toxic environment, telling the wide receivers that they, telling players, we're not going to fire you, we're going to fire your coaches. They're in a meeting with scouts and I'm saying, I hate scouts. They're lazy.
Or how about James Robinson fumbles first play of the game. Guy's injured. He goes crazy, benches him for the entirety of the game until they're down 30 late stages and puts him back in the game for meaningless carries.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you have to read it though. I mean, because some of the stuff, and you can understand why, I mean, why it didn't work out and why the players just, I mean, they had had enough. Couldn't talk to opponents before the game.
Nope.
Once claimed the Jaguars lost because they dressed sloppily.
Sloppily.
And he told the offensive players he wanted them to dunk the ball over the goalpost after touchdowns, even though that would draw a fine from the
league. I mean, what is the matter with this? He sounds like a boob is what he sounds like.
Well, how about what he says to Trevor Lawrence? This is about John Brown. Hey, Trevor, you got to slow it down for him. These boys from the South, their transcripts ain't right.
Yeah, I mean, that's awful.
Awful guy.
It sounds terrible. And this is, remember what he did, of course. They played that Thursday night game. The whole team goes back to Jacksonville. He stays behind and you know, starts having flirtations with women at his bar in Ohio.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Bad guy, huh? But how about this quote? And see, this is, if I was a Jaguars fan, would give me hope. DJ Shark, others agreed that Meyer hampered players, most notably Trevor Lawrence. Quote, Trevor's a great quarterback. He was put in an awful position.
Yeah, I mean, this is the last thing you want to do with your first overall pick. Put him in this kind of environment.
Terrible. But do you honestly really believe that he's never heard Deebo Samuel's name before? He doesn't know who Jamal Adams is, and he doesn't know who Aaron Donald is? How is that possible?
I haven't heard great things about this guy.
Great things or not. He was ensconced so in the what do you world think? Of so football he was being facetious? For a long time.
Okay, so what do you think? I mean, it was just being facetious, but you're talking about three different players. I understand one time you're trying to be facetious with Aaron Donald, like, who's this number 99 guy for the Rams? He's killing, like, I get it. That's, like, he might be a problem. That could be, like, maybe he's trying to be funny. But, I mean, why are you trying to be funny about Deebo Samuel and Jamal Adams?
I don't know. The story, it can't be true. Like, it just, and if it is true, now, I'm not saying that the awful pieces of the story are not true. I just can't believe that there's a guy that we're, I mean, if you asked my 11-year-old, my 15-year-old, who's Deebo Samuel, they know exactly who he is. Like, there's probably very few people listening to the show right now that we say Aaron Donald and they're not sure who that is. If there's a head coach in the NFL who's not familiar with star players, what a joke that would be.
Well, what a joke. I mean, there's no, is there really, is that possible?
Can't be.
It can't be, though. I mean, the guy coached college football. Like, I mean, he would know. I mean, you would imagine, like, he know that
it can't be
he
true.
Would know who these players are, no?
I would think. But the article portrays that he didn't know anything. He didn't really understand what was going on.
That would be like me all of a sudden, like in Marty St. Louis fashion, getting a job in the NHL. And, like, just in passing and being serious about it, being like,
Who's this guy on the Oilers? He's very good, this McDavid.
Yeah, who's this 97 kid? I think he could be a problem for us.
Yeah. Or the Rangers number 10, he's very good on tape. Yeah, like, right?
Yeah, that's the equivalent. Like, Aaron Donald's one of the best players in football. I don't know, man. This is grown men too he's doing this to.
Like, he sounds like an awful guy.
You
huh?
know, like, you know you're a bad guy when the players start feeling bad for the coaches because the coaches are being belittled in front of the players so bad.
Right? Doesn't get much worse than that. But you know what? He's going to get another job. He'll be coaching in college at some point.
No, never in the NFL. Never again.
No, not in the NFL. But he'll be coaching.
After hearing some of this stuff, though, man, I mean, would you want to send your kids? Like, if this is the way he coaches, would you want to send your kids?
Would I want to send my kids? No, but I'll tell you what. If I was a program, if I'm a UConn and my football program is in the dumps, would I bring in Urban Meyer? Absolutely. If I'm a Maryland, would I bring in Urban Meyer? Absolutely.
Yeah, but you don't think he's lost some of his luster with this stuff?
Look at
his
college resume.
Like, you do a 6-month deep dive? But you do a 6-month. Let's just pretend like the Aaron Donald one was just to be funny. Like, that was just him trying to be funny.
Okay. Which is not funny, seem but like, fine.
Yeah, but I mean, the way he acts, I mean, I don't know how much, you know, how often he's trying to be funny. He sounds like he's just a you-know-what all the time.
Well, he sounds like a dope, yes.
Yeah, but like Deebo Samuel and Jamal Adams?
Maybe that was just his way of being funny. Who's this 19 on the Niners?
Well, he's got to work on that then, because that's not
really
funny at all.
It may be a sense of humor lacks.
Yeah, he needs a sense of humor, because, I mean, some of this stuff is just, it's ridiculous.
He sounds like a, let's go to Ira in Staten Island, who's a great guy, but, oh, does Urban Meyer sound bad? Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Yeah, Urban Meyer, you know, it's amazing. When they hired him up in Jacksonville, I turned to my sister, and because I know, you know, Hackett, I said, you know what, this guy's up for a job. Urban Meyer is going to be out of there in less than a year. You just knew it wasn't going to translate to the NFL. He tried to run an NFL team like a college team. When you get these kids, you can tell them to do anything. You can force the coaches around. He didn't treat, you know, didn't treat them like men. And you know what? Like you said, he's never going to coach again in the NFL. He'll probably end up getting some college program in the dumps and probably rectifying them. And it's very much similar, but not as severe as Nick Saban. Nick Saban went to the Dolphins and he bombed out. But look what happened. He went back to college.
But he didn't bomb out like this. Like he didn't leave in tatters. He wasn't the laughing stock of the league, Ira.
Well, that's true.
He got fired with cause, Ira. I mean, this wasn't him walking away. He got fired for coming with cause.
But that's true, and that stuff off the field and stuff, just nonsense. And the stuff with the players and the numbers and not knowing Aaron Donald, I just think that's some warped sense of humor or sarcasm, because how could you not? I mean, like you said, a 5-year-old kid that has any type of coverage of the NFL, they know who these players are. How could Urban Meyer not know them? It's, you know what, this guy should just disappear.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think he's going to have a hard time doing that now.
Yeah, I don't think you'll hear a lot from Urban Meyer in the not-so-distant future. All right, and that was some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. Was that worth the wait, at least?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you teased it. It was a good tease. It was the triple tease. I think it was worth it. I think anyone that heard us talking about it, you should read it, because there's a lot more to the story. It's just craziness.
It is a wild story. So are we going with the pickle now?
No, I think I like the pickle open, but I think I like the wind up.
Well, no, but I'm saying we're pickling, we're winding up. That's what we're going to do, right?
If you want to. I mean, there's still a lot
to
talk about.
Well, I don't have to. I want us as a show to agree in unison of what we're going to do.
No, I don't think we need to. It doesn't have to be base. I don't think we need a baseball-specific segment right now.
So you want to save it for later in the week?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to. I mean, we got some Yankee stuff to talk about still. We haven't really even talked about Matt Ryan being traded to the Colts.
All right, so we'll kind of do a melange moving forward. Some quarterback. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. Good luck. Really good. As a Jets fan, you must be sick to your stomach.
Yeah, of course I'm sick to my. I mean, look what the AFC is right now.
I know. I enjoy it.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Did I hear you complaining about my live read for Bath Fitters, by the way?
No, I thought it was a great read.
Okay.
I said you're a little unhinged, but I like it.
How am I unhinged? Because I give passion in my live reads?
Oh, passion, crescendos, I mean, you name it.
I get splashy noises in my reads?
Which, I mean, if you turn the tub into a shower, I don't know why we have a splash. It makes no sense at all.
Because it's now multi-purpose. You can bathe in there or you can shower in there.
Yeah, but you describe it as a shower, not a bathtub and
a
shower.
Well, they turned it from a bathtub into a multi-purpose functional.
How many bathtubs have you taken?
How many bathtubs have I taken? Yeah. I'm not a big bath guy.
Like, I can't imagine your kids at their ages are taking baths right now.
No, they don't take any.
Okay. Like, maybe you want to get a little risque. You and Sherry want to jump in a bath. A hot tub. I mean, that's
Sherry's, Sherry's big into the bath, though.
Well, yeah, because she actually has a chance to relax. I mean, she takes care of three children and two dogs. I mean, it'd be nice to just put your feet up, maybe get the shower head involved, you know, just relax.
Oh, come on.
What?
What's the matter with you?
What? I'm assuming it's an assumption.
I'm not even going to answer you. I'll let you know this, though. A slipper is missing from yesterday.
Well, the dog ate it.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know where it is, but it's missing. She had one of her slippers taken.
Oh, I can imagine. It's probably, you check the dog run?
We're going to get Liam Neeson on the line. He's going to
Or check the next poop that they take in the dining room. Check. See if there's any slipper remnants.
Oily stool?
I saw one the other day where it was like the side effects was something to do with the taintal region, and they had like the definition of where the perineum, which is located. I was like, really? Like, we got to define where that is?
All right, this is great radio. 1-800-919-3776. You really don't have that filter. You really don't have it. We have people lined up. We'll get into the NFL in just a moment. Let's go to anybody, really, but let's specifically go to Billy in Rockland. Good morning, Billy. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's it going? Dave, Rick, RJ, Ray. How you guys doing today?
We're doing great. We're doing really well.
Well, Billy said hello to everyone. I appreciate that, Billy.
That's right. He's a man of the show. Thank you, Billy, for your call.
I'm a huge fan. I love you guys. You guys make my mornings and my days. You guys are absolutely hilarious. You always have me laughing. So thank you for that. I wanted to talk about the Yankees. What do you think they're going to do this season? Because I feel like with the acquisitions they've made, I don't feel like they're going to make a similar run like last year. I feel like it's going to be a lot of like peaks and valleys and all that. I love the Rizzo deal because I think he's a pretty decent player, but we got to worry about Judge and Stanton staying healthy. So I mean, how do you feel about all that? And the Correa deal, I think they really blew it with that one.
So your question is what do you want to know? Like, do they get in? Where do they finish in the division? What's your specific question?
Where do you think they finish in the division? Because Tampa has been a monster the past few years, and it seems like Boston's really got a decent, got a great lineup of pitchers and everything. So where do you think they're going to go in the division?
I don't like the Red Sox rotation at all, actually, to be honest with you. I would say the Yankees are in that, I would say safely two, right? I think they definitely can be better than Tampa or Toronto, and then maybe one of those teams is better than them. So I think the Yankees are worst case three, probably two-ish.
Yeah, I mean, if all things go right. But, I mean, I still have some questions about the Yankees, the back end of the Yankees rotation. Health is a big concern. The team that scares me, I mean, Toronto scares me.
They should scare you.
Because, I mean, I know they lost Robbie Ray.
Well, they got a full season of Berríos now, right? They signed Kevin Gausman as well. They brought in Kikuchi.
Yeah, Kikuchi. Who doesn't like that? And then their lineup, I mean, I got to imagine, too, that I mean, Chapman's too good, right? Like, I mean,
are we talking Matt or talking Aroldis?
No, I'm talking Matt.
Okay.
Like, I think that's a nice addition for them. Their lineup is, you're going to get Springer probably for the whole year. Right, he was hurt a lot of last season.
Correct. Now they lost big pieces. You lose Simeon, and you lose Robbie Ray.
Well, I get that, but again, I mean, look what they did with their rotation, and Robbie Ray had an unbelievable season. Like, you take nothing away from him there, but I mean, when you look at what they did offensively last season, like that was a team that should have won a lot more baseball games. Offensively,
you got to figure out. So look at this rotation now. Berríos, who's a stud. Gausman, yep. Who's a stud. Ryu, who I don't even love and is kind of advanced in age, but is more than serviceable. Alek Manoah, who I told RJ about as he was coming up last year, and he didn't even hear of him. He's got star potential, right? Nate Pearson throws like 100 miles an hour. You got Kikuchi as well. You got Ross Stripling. That's a lot of talent, that starting staff.
Yeah, and then look at their lineup.
Their lineup is insane.
So, yeah, I mean, that would be a team that scares me. And I know they lost big pieces. I think Semien's a big loss for them. But, again, I mean, you count on having George Springer hopefully healthy for most of the season, which is big. Bo Bichette's a stud. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a stud.
Who's their everyday second baseman now? Is it Biggio's kid?
Biggio, yep.
So that's a question mark. To go from Semien to Biggio is
That's well, especially with the kind of season that Semien had last season.
Well, that, I mean,
Semien was
saying.
Awesome.
But, I mean, you talk about, like, Lourdes Gurriel batting seventh in this lineup.
Yeah. They got Hernandez. Grichuk's a pretty good player.
They're a very good team. A lot of talent there. All right. Let's go to Hot Take Joe in Newcastle. Good morning, HTJ.
Hello, gentlemen. Part of the company here. I want to say good
it's
morning.
Hot Take Johnny! Is it Johnny or Joe?
Johnny. Hot Take Johnny.
You know, Rick, what
I
does
apologize.
It say?
HTG, I apologize. Dave has, he just doesn't get it.
No, it's no. What does my screen
Johnny?
Say? What, read it. Read what my screen says.
I read it, but he can't fit Hot Take Johnny in there.
Well, then you know what? Maybe he should do something to, maybe on the line below. Say Hot Take and then Johnny in parentheses
and then
whatever it is.
We often do reference Hot Take Joe on the show. It happens all the time.
Yeah, you know, go after me. Take what, you know
Johnny!
What? You know what? You know what, you little man? What does it say? What is it? HTJ, I'm sorry. Give me a moment. RJ, read to me what it says. Go ahead. Read it across from left to right.
I don't
You'd like
enough.
His book. You should read his book.
Read,
it's actually
read
pretty
it. I don't read.
I don't
read
have
it.
Enough characters.
Whose fault is that?
The IT people.
Because you're character incapable. Now I get thrown under the bus?
Yeah, essentially. There's right. not enough characters. What is? Where is he from? You got that correct. New C-A-S-T.
You know why I got it right?
Because
it says new C-A-S-T. And I said, RJ, what is that? Newcastle? And he's like, yeah, Newcastle. So you know what? I'm not to blame here. It says Hot Take Joe. It's Hot Take Johnny.
It's Hot Take Johnny.
It's a good thing you asked, because otherwise Newcastle could have been someone from the team that plays in the Premier League over in England. So I mean, we don't know.
That's you know what I prefer? Hot Take I prefer Joe. The email when you say I talk too much. Because I think maybe you're right. Maybe you do. Hot Take Johnny, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Or Joe.
That's all right.
Hot Take Joe, you're next up.
Nobody laughed at the moment. Nobody laughed during the moment. It took minutes for you guys to have that reaction. You thought the same thing. You thought, this is Joe. This is Hot Take Joe. That's what you all thought. All right, Johnny, go.
The Urban Meyer.
So my first sports memory is when I was 6 years old watching the 86 World Series, the Mets win.
Yeah.
And so I grew up with this generation of Yankees fans that have won 5 championships. I don't hate the Yankees, but these Yankees fans that grew up so spoiled that they have a player that has performed in the postseason that can help them win, but they don't want to sign him because he talked badly about Derek Jeter. That pisses me off so much. I hope that Correa goes on to win multiple championships, and 50 years from now, the Yankees have none, and this is looked back as a curse for the Yankees.
You're not
this
a Yankees
a spoiled
fan.
Sports
right.
fan.
You, there's no way. You're not a Yankees fan, right?
No, I'm a Mets fan. I grew up, 86 yeah. World Series, my first sports memory, so Mets fan.
Okay, good. But listen, I agree. If you didn't, and thanks for the call, Johnny, if you didn't want Carlos Correa because he disparaged Derek Jeter, then what are you doing?
The only thing that would make sense is that Carlos Correa didn't want to be a Yankee. That's it.
Okay, which is fine. But then why not send that out there? We reached out. We wanted him. He didn't want us. And we moved on to plan B. Instead of this, you know, you got Kay reporting they didn't want any part of Carlos Correa on this team. Why would that be?
Brian Cashman's a smart guy. And I get it. I mean, you trust that, you know, Volpe and Peraza will fill that spot at some point in the future. And you don't want to clog that spot up. I get it. That makes perfect sense to me. But if I can get Carlos Correa on essentially a one-year deal.
It's what it is, 1 year. The only reason it has more years than that is just
in case he gets hurt.
Yeah,
or has
he
a bad
can now
season,
get paid
yeah.
for doing nothing.
And I have to believe, seriously. I mean, if you're looking for a long-term deal where you're going to get, you know, you're talking about Lindor kind of money or Seager kind of money. Doesn't it benefit you to be on a team that's going to make a run to the World Series potentially?
So maybe he will
Minnesota?
Be. Maybe he's just not on that team now.
Why would you want to do that, though?
Thing that Minnesota did, right? If they have an awful start to the season and they're out of it, they can trade him for big-time prospects.
Yeah, I understand that, though. But, why, I mean, why? I don't know.
I don't know
like,
why he
going into
go
a situation
to
where, well, but you're going into a situation where, yeah, I have my numbers are great here, and that's awesome. I'll have the production, but maybe at some point I'm going to get traded, so I'm going to pick everything up and have to go move somewhere. I don't know, man.
The whole thing seems weird. But why would he not just go back to Houston?
See, that's the other thing I don't know. I think Yankees fans feel like they could have done better, especially because they actually did spend money. It's not like they didn't spend any money.
You feel like they should have? Because they should have done better. They should have had a better offseason than they've had. That's the truth. I say super hot wife. You think of who?
I think a Shooter.
There you go. Shooter Stanford. Good morning. How are you?
Woo! Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Shooter.
Okay. Morning. And I have to mention I'm in the company now. Hoo-wah.
Look at you.
So,
welcome aboard.
Let's talk about
Rick DiPietro and company.
That's right. Shooter part of the
company. Hey, this is Rick DiPietro here. the Yanks. Now, I'm a spoiled Yankee fan. I'll admit it. I'll take Joe. Johnny is right. But first of all, if we cheated, right, we stole signs, we stink because we didn't even do well cheating. Two, the Yankees' legacy created by George Steinbrenner being a wild card, firing, hiring anyone he wanted, his boys are ruining it because we have been spoiled because he would do anything it took to win, and they are not doing that now. And it's almost like the Mets have George Steinbrenner. And, you know, the Mets are going to be the team now unless the Yankees do something about this immediately because he would have picked up Story, Correa, Freeman. He would have got them all.
I don't know if that's the new Yankees team.
I think he probably went under the point where he said enough is enough. It almost reminds me to a certain degree of the Cowboys a little bit. The difference being that Jerry's still around. You know what I mean?
Their lack of what they do?
Well, not lack of what they do, but like Steven tries to do. Like, I mean, there's also like you realize like there's a business element to this stuff too. Like Hal's realized that he's trying to run a business here too. Well, he's still trying to make money. He's got to pay off loans and everything. Like there's a lot that. And then George would be the guy that's like, no, I don't care about all that. Yeah, that stuff can
nobody
wait.
I'll tell you what, as a fan, a huge fan, and you are too, nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear, didn't do this because of my... And you know what? They spent money. Their salary is, what, $258 million? It's not like you could say that they're at $68 million, so they're not spending money because they're trying to pay back loans and whatever this kind of crap is. They spent a lot of money. I just don't think they spent it very effectively.
Yeah, I understand it. I get it. I mean, for that kind of money, I would imagine you have the third highest payroll in baseball. Like, you should have eliminated a lot of the question marks, and it still feels like this team has quite a few question marks.
Terrence in Queens. Terrence, good morning. I believe it is, in fact, Terrence. You're on 98.7.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
What's up, Terrence?
All right. Listen, you guys are totally wrong. I got to tell you guys. I'm glad I got in first. I'm calling. I've been trying to get in for a long time.
Well, welcome.
Welcome aboard, Terrence.
What are we wrong about?
Okay, so you guys are wrong about the Yankees. I've been a Yankee fan since 1980. And like the guy said before, I got to enjoy like five championships. So they try to be more responsible. You know, there's no way to control when guys get injured. You know, you get what's his name? The big bopper we got there.
Stanton?
Stanton, right. You know, you get him, he get hurt. Hicks get hurt. You got no control over that.
You have no control.
But Hicks is always hurt. Yeah. I mean, Terrence.
He's always hurt. That's a terrible call.
No, and my only problem with Stanton was you already had Judge. And it's funny. I got a tweet yesterday. It's like you're trying to compare Judge to Stanton. Judge is, I'm telling you, I know that Aaron Judge is better than Stanton. I get it. I agree with you. So you already had Judge. And now all of a sudden we're being fiscally responsible, so we don't want to lock into another long-term deal. So having Stanton now, making almost $30 million a year, locked in for what, the next 6 years?
But I understand that. That makes sense to me. I don't want Story for 6 years. I don't want Seager for this monster deal. But Correa was there for the taking at a reasonable number, and that's the one that would drive me insane. All right, quickly before we go to three stars, I think it's fair to say that the Jets, I mean, Zach Wilson has a boatload of pressure on him this season. Because you look at the quarterbacks in this AFC, and now Matt Ryan goes to the Colts for a third-round pick. I mean, and he's one of the lesser quarterbacks in the conference. This is a bear of a conference right now. My God.
Bear of a conference. And, I mean, let me ask you this, though. Do you see the amount of dead money that Atlanta has in their cap now?
$40 million from the Ryan contract. The most ever.
40 and a half. Yeah, but do you think the addition of him makes them the best team in that division?
They're better than Jacksonville, I think,
Of course,
They're better than Houston.
Are they better than Tennessee is the question?
Probably not. Well, but, you know, I don't know. I think they compete with Tennessee. I do.
I think
their offensive line is good. They competed with Tennessee this year.
Well, no, I get it. But, I mean, you're going to have to be, right? When you look at the AFC, like how many, like, if you don't win that division, like how many
teams
are going to make
it? You have to win your division. That has to be the goal. You can't count on getting a wild card because there are going to be so many good teams. You're Buffalo, you have to win that division. You're Kansas City, you have to win that division, right? AFC South. If you're the Colts or the Titans, you have to win that division.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't stop. I mean, it really doesn't. And I'm happy for Matt Ryan. It's good. Because, I mean, you don't want to be a part of the rebuild. I mean, yeah, you deserve a chance to compete. This feels like, I talk about going, I mean, how many years in a row is this now with the Colts having a different starting quarterback?
Five and six of seven. Because Andrew Luck, I forget the years, but he started a year, missed a year, and then started the next year. And since he started, I think it was 2018, they've had a different quarterback every season now.
All right, so here's the other question. Where the hell does Jimmy G... I mean, this you got to trade for these players now. Now, where did Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield end up? Because Jameis Winston just signed in New Orleans.
Yeah. How about Seattle?
Well, that's it. So you got two quarterbacks for one spot?
Washington really, really screwed up here, by the way.
Yeah, unless they... I mean, for some reason, they like Carson Wentz, but...
How could you like Carson Wentz more than you like Matt Ryan?
Well, I don't think you could, but do you think Matt Ryan would want to go to Washington?
Probably not. But no, Washington's not a terrible... You know what? You might have a better chance to go to the postseason on Washington in the NFC than on the Colts in the AFC.
Yeah, but if I'm Matt Ryan, give me a dome. I mean, that's a good team.
I understand,
good coaching
I understand
staff.
Your point, and you're not wrong. It's just, I don't know. The NFC is so soft, and the AFC is...
The real question is, would you rather... I mean, Baker Mayfield's on a one-year deal here. Would you rather Baker Mayfield for a year or Carson Wentz?
Yeah, either one.
I don't know.
I don't think there's a big difference there. But you're right, Mayfield and Garoppolo.
Going to be interesting.
Those are the two. But boy, oh boy, NFL, I can't wait. Draft.
How about that, though, if you're Baker Mayfield? If they really were going to get an extension done, but you asked for too much money, now you could be in a spot where you don't even really have a starting job this upcoming season.
No, he could be a backup quarterback.
Oh, my God.
He could
goodness.
Be a backup quarterback. All right, Santi, you have a lot to choose from. Three stars, go.
Today's three stars. Number three.
Well, you're right about one thing. There was a lot of options today, but we'll start with you, Dave, because you're famous for saying...
I go away, this show dies.
You're also famous for saying...
We need to break, otherwise more people will die.
And today people died. Not only did people die, you murdered the clock, you dug it up, you smashed its, what was left of it over and over again. I mean, we're going to look back at this show and see how the clock integrity holds up, but not your best performance.
There's no remains left, Santiago. It's gone.
What do you mean not my best performance? I thought
nothing
I was
left
exceptional
to desecrate.
Today.
Nothing left. Well, as far as content, you were great. Clock integrity, not so much.
Awful.
I had one missed opportunity. One.
Number
That's
two.
Terrible stars.
Any CMT that gets you guys yelling at each other and yelling at us back here, I think is a good CMT. And I think RJ got the debate going. I thought it was a good one. And if nothing else, we got the Dave's value on the market if he were to ever be traded. And look, Dave, to be brought up with SEC games, I think you should be very happy. No,
I am very happy.
Okay,
very
so
very happy.
Al Michaels was once traded for a cartoon character, so I mean you gotta take what you can get.
Which is a cartoon character.
I'm sorry?
Dave's turned himself into a cartoon character.
This is also very true. And number one.
Treated very
hot
nastily.
Take Joe in Newcastle.
Actually, that's a correction.
It's Hot Take Johnny!
I mean, we all knew it was Hot Take Johnny except for Dave, apparently.
Nobody
Joe.
Says anything.
Maybe we should be more clear on the call screener. I don't know.
You know what? Maybe you should actually put their appropriate names on the call screener. How's that for an idea?
We all know who it is.
It's Hot you know what? I
Take
didn't.
Johnny!
I need to be babied. I'm the Ron Burgundy of the station. Put the actual name on the call screener. All right, Key. I'm sorry you had to hear this. Key from KJM joins us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mel Kiper's mock draft. Let's start with the Jets, Key. You wind up with the best receiver in the draft and maybe the best corner in the draft. You've done pretty well at 4-10 there, haven't you?
Well, you know, yeah, I think so. But I don't know that I would take Drake London at 4. I think if the Jets move down a little bit, pick up some extra picks, then they could certainly get Drake London. I don't know if that's swapping with the Carolina Panthers or the Giants, just dropping down just a little bit, because 4 is kind of high for me to take Drake London, but the Jets certainly need a wide receiver. And I talked to Mel about this a couple months ago when he first put out his first mock draft, and he had Drake, I think he was either 9 or 10, and I said he should go to the Jets a little bit higher, and he said, well, you know, it's a mock draft, so he's still working on things. These things will change 9,000 times between now and draft day.
Let me ask you, Key, as a former wide receiver, obviously, I mean, is there something to be said about, you know, Zach Wilson going into year two, having a young wide receiver as opposed to a veteran wide receiver, where, you know, him and the young wide receiver kind of on the same, the same level as opposed to maybe being intimidated a little bit by an older receiver?
Well, it depends on what type of veteran you're talking about, right? If you're talking about a 4 or 5 year veteran type receiver, that could certainly bode well for Zach Wilson. When I was drafted as the number one overall pick for the Jets back in 96, we brought in Webster Slaughter, we brought in Jeff Graham, and I think somebody else we had like three veteran guys, plus myself, Alex Van Dyke, were both rookies, so we surrounded us with some veteran guys. 2 years later, all those veterans were gone, and it became about Wayne Kerbeck, Keyshawn, Dietrich Ward, which was all young receivers, but we learned from those veterans. So having a veteran receiver around young guys certainly will help.
All right, Key, what do we have? A big show today starting in just moments. What do we have on KJM today?
Well, in about 10 minutes, we're going to jump on with Mel Kiper Jr. He's going to join our show and talk a little bit about the mock draft. You know, then we obviously like to play Real or Not Real, which is a fun game that we play. We also talk a little bit about Max's. You know, Max had a little bit of a ranking, so we'll dive back into that quarterback ranking with Max a little bit along the way. And then we'll just have our normal daily fun. We'll have fun, excitement. We'll talk New York football, Giants, Jets. We'll try to break down the mock draft and make you guys, I don't know, scream a little bit.
Well, we appreciate that. Key, have a great show. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you.
There you go. Keyshawn Johnson, 98.7 ESPN. You feel a way that Mel's joining them? We have him on Thursday. We're his show.
Key was teasing a little naughty sandwich there in KJM.
Naughty sandwich. It didn't even make 3 stars, the naughty sandwich.
I have no respect for 3 stars anymore. Naughty sandwich was the highlight. The show.
It was the highlight of the show today?
Highlight of the show.
Will Naughty Sandwich make your Thursday open of this week?
I'm going to walk downstairs and order a Naughty Sandwich for breakfast.
You know what? You just should. You just might. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague Champion. It's DPH Rothenberg and
the Naughty Sandwich.
Ooh, risque on 98.7.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.